Well, the time is now 20 minutes to 9 o'clock as we continue our Okropovo conversations. And on Fridays, as I announced, Fridays we do it in association with our friends at the NCF, facilitating these interviews. And as we started last week, we had Kevin Farmer of the Barbados Museum, and we had Mighty Destroyer. And we look at different areas in the festival, different things that we can look at. Now, today is all about the women. Well, every day is all about the women, so they let us know all the time. But today in particular, and to discuss everything in the industry, the thing is, as I was speaking to someone about this series yesterday, it's not a new topic, but the fact that it's still a topic, I think we need to look deeper into it. We're talking about the women in Okropovo in the industry, and why is this still a conversation that we are having? Now, on the line, two women who have made quite an impact in their own way, and they continue to do so. Let's say good morning and welcome to Donella and Natalie. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, coming through nice and clear. I like that there. I mean, internet working, bills paid and everything. All righty. Now, you know, we hear this all the time. You know, we talk about the role of women and different things regarding the roles of women. Now, why is this still a thing as we try to aim for equality, as we look and we see how much has been done, how large and important the contribution has been? You know, when we look at through the years, yes, it's, and we continue to say it's a male-dominated industry, but you ladies and others have continued to make that mark, but there's still a bigger struggle for you. Why is that the case?
I don't know why it's still a thing. You know, I don't know how much more women have to prove themselves in Calypso, in soca, in music in general, and in a lot of other areas. I don't know why it is still that way, but we continue to do what we do, and we do it well, and we persevere, and we know that, you know, at the end of the day, we are just as good, and in some cases, better.
Yep, I agree 100% there, right there.
Do you find that in addition to competing against the men, it seems that you're put in competition against each other?
Donella, you're gonna take that one first.
because I'm here pondering on it. Yes. Yes. That is for a fact. We women fight the fight, and we, as Natalie said, we continue to do what we're doing. And if you find as the years go by, there's more and more women getting into the competitions and the Calypso, which is good. We try to encourage even more ladies to join the fight with us. Let's call it a fight.
Yeah.
We try to encourage them to join the fight with us, and we will continue to do so. But yes, when it's competition, it's like if we are fighting against each other. It's true.
And I mean, it's a competition. So whether it's male or female, you're going to fight.
Yeah.
That's right.
It doesn't have to be that females are fighting against females. It's a competition. So you are competing against whomever is competing against you. So it, in a way though, there is still that sense where females, because of what we have been through in terms of being put into the second tier, or on the second shelf, there is always this need and this desire to be the best on the second shelf.
we always have to prove ourselves.
But I'm not saying at all that we are on the second shelf, right?
Yeah.
But that's right.
We always find ourselves having to prove ourselves, and you know that. Sometimes, and I'll be very candid, sometimes it even feels as though there are only a limited number of spaces for women available. So you want to be one of those, if you want to be in one of those places,
wow,
go fight
it
hard.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
And I find that it's unfortunate that, as you said, that, you know, it seems like, you know, they place you on that second tier, but you still want to show that you are the best over there. Now, stereotypes continue to reign heavy in everything. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the fact that it's actually you two that I'm speaking to, because you do not necessarily fall into that stereotype of what the wider public wants put out there. But still, being yourself, you have excelled. You continue to excel and continue to put out great music and perform as such. Do you see that there's pressure being put on some of those younger ones coming up to say, let's say, or you gotta look and perform like Allison or Destra or Fayanne or whomever. This is what you need to do to be successful out there. Is that pressure, you think, mounting?
I'll take this one first, and then I'll jump in.
I want to be as transparent as possible, because for me to say that there's pressure on the younger ones, I would hope not. Mm-hmm. I have to speak from being last year, I was actually one of the mentors for the NCF, mm-hmm. and I worked with the Les Savon School. And in working with them, with those kids, you would never find that that's what we did. We, you know, we tried to let them build their own style. Be, mm-hmm. you know, and not saying that you can't take some from here and some from there, because there are some people in Calypso and singing that I take bits and pieces from. Mm-hmm. But we want them to be, you know, be their own person when they hit the stage, not be compared to a particular person so much. Mm-hmm. You might be able to look at them and say, wow, that move there, that's a TC move. Yeah, mm-hmm. nothing is wrong with that, because you learn as we go. And trust me, some of my moves was from TC too. Mm-hmm. I admit that.
That's some of mine too.
You know, we learn as we go. So for me, I try to encourage the youngsters to, you know, their own, to mm-hmm. be their own. But in saying that, it could be that from others, that might be the pressure for them.
My thing is that what I find about this younger generation, which is good, they can be headstrong, yes, but they're very independent. Mm. And I don't think that even if you were to bring that glass ceiling and tell them they had to just get there and not any further, they would break it. I really don't think that younger people coming up now will fall into that. I don't want to say trap, but that's the only word that's coming to me right now. Mm-hmm. Where they feel as though they have to perform like somebody else. I'm confident that they are now at a point where they can say, this is who I am, and this is how I am going to do this. I want to be original, and I'm going to show the world who I am. I am not another Rihanna. I'm not another Allison. I'm not another Donnell. I'm not another Nahi. I'm not another TC. I'm not any of those people. I am who I am, and this is what I am going to show.
Nice. Yes, I agree. Right. I agree. I'm seeing it. And I know, and being mothers to that next generation, you see the independence in your children, and you see the results of the seeds that you've planted, because I'm pretty sure you're seeing all of yourselves in them. But coming back to the development of the young ones, we have the junior soca monarch, but prior to this year, with regards to soca, calypso, crapover, the only other thing was the junior monarch, which until last year focused on Kaiso. Last year they opened the gates a bit and they allowed the bashment and groovy and such. But beyond that, there wasn't anything that was developmental in terms of the competitions for the young people directly for crapover. And in that, we had a lot of young girls. But after that, it seems like, you know, they go their own way. What happened to all of them? Is there enough put in place to help aid our young women or young girls to take them from that junior stage to the big stage to being a bigger part of the industry?
If I may jump in here and say, it is, you see, when you're working with a season and the music appears to be seasonal, that is when we start to experience some issues. Mm. When you get past the junior monarch stage, if you are not, and you're singing calypso, and specifically calypso, unless you are in a tent, there's really no outlet for you. Mm. There is no bridge that you can cross in order to, you know, you can't, the gap needs to be bridged for young people to remain in calypso. Mm-hmm. That's one. Two, unfortunately, calypso does not reap the financial benefits that soca can. When you put that song out there, the only outlet for you, as I said, would be the tent, if you are fortunate enough to become a member of a tent, and the competition. There's really no other way for you to make money. People do not, after the calypso is finished, people do not necessarily call you to do shows locally or regionally or internationally or whatever, based on a calypso. And that is the reality of the situation. Because calypso tends to be very specific in the nature of its lyrics, and it is what it is for when it is. And that is just the reality. I say that in a very, you know, honest fashion. I mean, what soca can do, the places that soca can go, calypso tends to be more of a localized, it is political commentary. Mm-hmm. So it speaks specifically to the country from which, you know, it was born. So sometimes young people recognize that, oh, well, I can't really do any, after I pay the studio and so on, and I sing this for this season, after that, what? You know, it may play on the radio and so on, and you will get, if you're signed up with an organization, then you will get your royalties and so on. But at the end of the day, I think that a lot of young people stray away from calypso because they do not see an outlet for it outside of Barbados and outside of the season. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. Donella could help me here with that one, but I could be wrong. And soca just seems more attractive. I mean, when you look at soca music around the world, I don't even have to say what soca music does and how it does, you know. So sometimes they disappear for that reason. And other times they're not motivated. Maybe they don't have the right people around them to help to help them move from one level to the other. Because at the end of the day, in this business, and I say business, you need someone who are people who will guide you in the right direction and get you to the right places and the right people.
Mm-hmm. That is so correct. I agree with Natalie. There's also, for the young people, there are young ladies and men who do love, they have the love for calypso. But as Natalie said, it's to get in a tent. You have to be able to be in a tent. And after Junior Monarch, and you're not in a tent, then what? Mm-hmm. It's like you're out there. I know of a couple of persons who still enjoy singing calypso, but because they were unable to get into a tent, you know, their love for it just began to, you know, just quiver a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's the unfortunate part about it. So when I find tents bringing young persons in, that's what we have to continue to encourage for the tent to bring in, you know, because with All Stars and House of Soca, is it? I'm seeing that they're bringing more and more youngsters, mm-hmm. you know, getting more of a feel. So it prepares them. And that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. We need a little more of that so that we, and also the young persons, when they come into the tent, I sit and I have talks with them too. You know, they can learn a lot from us who've been there for a while. I learn a lot from Colin Spencer and the others who give me a lot of advice. Mm-hmm. So with us behind them, then we will find that we would have a lot more who will continue in it. But that's what we need. We need to encourage them a little more, and you know, be just put help them to get out there a little more.
I give them more outlets as well.
That's right.
We're talking paint and we're talking calypso at this calypso. Point. And I'm thinking maybe that there should be a tank, if they want to call it a tank. They may want to call it something else, mm-hmm. or they may want to not right. call it a tank in this thing.
Yeah.
Where they can stay and develop some more. They come into this group. You say group or not tank, right?
Yeah. Mm.
And there's an age limit again where you stay until, let's say, you're 23.
Mm-hmm.
And you spend your time there. And then more and more people will see you and hear you and so on. And as you develop, then tent managers may come forward and say, I want, you know, right. how you do a draft, you know, like how you That's do a draft, right. but basketball and,
yeah.
and even yeah. 2020 cricket and things, CPL, and then you do a draft, there's a draft. The tent managers come and say, yes, I want to.
I'm interested, yeah.
I'm interested in having her and him and this other young man here and, you know,
yeah.
and this young lady and work with them from there. But there's no bridge right. right now.
All right.
There's no bridge.
This morning, Donella and Natalie, and we're talking about the women in the industry and, of course, the development. And we ended off speaking about the development. And just following up, we have someone that said, how about creating a platform for the younger musicians coming forward? I know that the NCF does some work. They have their workshops. But again, as you were alluding to, Natalie, when you have something that is so seasonal, how do you make it attractive? How do you get someone, in particular, we're looking at targeting the young ladies. How do you get them to come along and say, yes, this is what I want to do? And in particular, Donella, your journey is somewhat interesting because having started out as a soca artist, then you jumped on the Kaiso bandwagon. Well, let me call it bandwagon, but you know, you jump on board and kicking up dust in there. But again, as we realize, it is not a great money earner. So it comes down to deciding, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing this here for the love of it. Is it worth it?
For me, it's worth it. If I try to encourage our son, my son, Don Ross, in the same way. If you love something, yes, you might not be getting what you want, but if you have a love for something, mm-hmm. you keep the fight. I have a love for music. I have a love for singing. As you said, I started on the soca scene. And it just reached a point for me where I said to myself, all right, you know, I've had enough. I don't know if Natalie's ever found herself in that position, but I just could not at one point see myself on the soca stage anymore. Mm-hmm. And for various reasons too, I wanted one to step back and allow younger persons, you know, mm-hmm. to come and bring their new style and stuff. And also, being honest, I tell myself I'm getting older and I'm not the jump up kind of person anymore. Mm-hmm. So let me just step back a little. And on, people were asking me about the same pickety crop. And my husband could tell you, I would be like, nah, that's not for me. No, that's not my thing. Although loving it, I used to love to watch
mm-hmm.
TC. Sammy Jane,
yeah.
These are persons that I used to watch and go like, wow. And Sonia Mullins and TC, one year I remember that I judged, it was just out of the blue, just for myself to say, let me just try it. Not that I wanted to, I just said, let me just try it.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot my words. And I remember when I came off stage, I was so devastated. And I think it was Sonia that looked at my husband and said, leave her. Yeah, she looked at Russell and said, leave her. And I just went in my own little corner, get my little, you know, and then afterwards, TC came and spoke to me. And that, at that point, if it was that, I was just left alone, and I figured that I would not have ever tried picking a crop again. But remembering those encouraging words, and then as the years go by, and you know, Russell would say to me, "Don't you think this is something that you can try? Let me just try it and see." You know, and then after that, I felt very comfortable. I didn't feel out of place. I didn't, you know, and I loved it. So what I try to tell Don Ross is, if you love something, go for it. You know, everybody's not going to love it. You might just like it or just want to try it, but you have to love it to keep pursuing, to keep at it.
No, that's, again, that's an amazing thing. And I agree. I agree. And I remember being younger, leaving what people say a good job because I wasn't happy. I didn't love it. But at that time, I ain't had a child. I ain't had a care. So how then do we address this here? How then do we say, hey, we want people to become practitioners. We want them to contribute to it, but we also want them to be able to pay the bills.
Well, I think more platforms can be open. I mean, in this current situation with COVID, it's a bit difficult. But I'm thinking that once we get through this, because we're not through it yet, but once we get through this, Barbados is a place where people come not only for the sea and the sand. They come for the music. They come for the nightlife. They want that vibe. They come for the people. That's one of the, that's when you hear repeat visitors, they say,
right.
I came back because the people here are people. So nice.
That's so true.
I enjoyed myself with these Barbadians. I think we need to set up more creative arts spaces. You should be able to go to the beach and see an unplugged concert.
Nice.
You should be able to walk through St. Lawrence Gap and have music all the way down, and not only in the establishments.
That's right. On
the sides of the streets. Where these young people, younger people can feel as though they can make a living out of music. And for too long, we have pushed aside the arts and told our children, and I don't mean us, Donella, that, that music is not the way to go, that you cannot make a living out of music.
Get a real job.
Try to push them into other areas, other traditional areas. Somebody asked about young, about musicians as well. My thinking is, if you are a musician and you're interested in, let's say, the same soca, calypso, then that band in that space that I was talking about would be comprised of young musicians only.
That's right. That's because right.
At the end of the day, the tents will need new blood. And I find like, okay, I've seen it happen where I've seen some young people transition from, let's say, BCC into the tent and so on. And that is good, but we need more of it. Young people, as I said, they're different to how we are in terms of their entrepreneurship and, you know, that entrepreneurial spirit that they have. And if we give them a chance to make suggestions, give them a chance to say what they would like to see there. And the internet is there. There's so much going on around the world that we can draw from in terms of how we can set up our creative spaces. People should, as I said, music should be all around Barbados.
But then the question is, it should be. And, you know, as we continue to look at how it can be, you know, let's take the example, Juanita Clark, once. Amazing drummer. I think she drums for the Big Show as well. And she is one of the most dynamic musicians. And I'm talking young, old, man, woman, anything. She is just dynamic. And she's not alone there. But it is fortunate that she was given that opportunity as a young person and a woman, you know, to get that opportunity to shine. Are we providing are we giving our young women that chance to shine? Or is it, as you said, you know, everyone's on this one shelf and I said, okay, you know, for me to shine, you can't. Is that happening? No?
I don't see that happening, no. This is only my opinion. I don't see that happening, no, and I don't see it for many reasons, and I said it before. Young people do not allow that to happen to themselves. Every young person thinks that he or she's the greatest at what he or she does.
I can tell you that much.
They're not lacking in self-confidence. They don't need anybody at all to boost them, so to speak, because they have embraced who they are and their individualism or individuality, whatever you want to call it. They have embraced that. I'm not saying that that's the case for all young people, but I don't see it now in a sense where we are looking at males and females differently, because young females are not going to allow that en masse.
No.
Back in the day, there were some of us who stood up and said, listen, no.
That's right.
Then there were others who conformed. You know, and let me tell you, the ones that stood up and said, you ain't putting me in a box, are the ones who are still here.
That's right.
Nobody puts baby in a box. Should we attempt all female concepts? Like maybe an all female band? Well, we know we've had, I'm trying to remember the name of it. But we the all female band, maybe an all female tent or show as an attempt to give them an opportunity, to give them that stage. I know, I can remember Faith did something. I know she did it online. I can't remember. I think she also did one on stage in Bryce. I could be wrong. But where she brought other females together on that stage where they can have that opportunity. Do we need to do more of that, perhaps, to help our young ladies or women in general?
It's a good idea. It's really a good idea because to see or to come and to pay your money and come and see an all-female, let's say a tent, all right? All-female playing everything. And I know we got some real talented females in Barbados.
Absolutely.
It would be awesome. I would want to see it. And if I want, I know there are so many others who would want to see it. And then, as you said, it gets to showcase all of the talent or some of the talent that we have, because Barbados is overflowing with talent, males and females. But it would be nice to have that. That is something that I would love to see. That's something that I think can be pitched as well. And I can only see growth from it.
Someone here is saying that there was an all-female tent upstairs, the Annie Wilson building. You know about that one?
Natalie, do you know that one?
I can't, no. I can't recall that one.
I honestly can't recall.
The place the person is talking about, but I can't think. I also think, though, that in doing all-female events, there must be an element of personal development that comes along with it. We need to encourage each other.
That's right.
As females, there are things that females need that males do not. For example, if it's stereotypical. If Donella or I went on stage without makeup one year, our hair needed doing. Right? We'll be talked about.
That's right.
Everybody will want to know what wrong with me, why we ain't went, and sort out we said.
That's true.
If a man goes on stage and he needs a haircut, but it ain't too bad, nobody ain't gonna say nothing.
That's right.
We are judged so harshly. And there are also things that we had to fight for over the years in terms of getting, making sure that our glam team is taken care of, because men don't need those things. Getting mirrors in dressing rooms, something as simple as a full length mirror.
That's you right.
Know. Hello, we need them too, you know. Don't,
I'm not saying that you don't. I'm saying you know what I mean, Cash. You don't try. Right?
I got you.
In talking to young women mm-hmm. who want to come into the music business and so on, there has to be that element too, where they recognize too that there is more to it than just what you see on the outside.
I'm glad you said that.
More to it. How to present yourself on stage. Mm-hmm. What suits you and what does not suit you.
That is correct.
You know, because everything is for everybody. And we know mm-hmm. that, right? How comfortable you are on stage. You might not like to put on her heel shoes, but that's all right. Mm-hmm. Everybody don't want to be on stage in heels. And if you look at the trends in soca music now, I know the last day that I see a female soca artist who really are truly
heels.
Because you want to be free, you want to jump, but you want to do what you got to do. You may put on some boots or some sneakers or something, but you understand what I'm saying?
I know Destra loves to perform barefoot. I see her barefoot a lot. yes, Tony yes. Norville, I know, well, not a soca artist, but Tony, infamous for being barefoot. Yeah, barefoot.
You know? But my thing is, do you?
Mm.
And not somebody else.
Yeah.
And that is one of the things that we need to teach. Not just the females, but the males too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know we are talking females specifically, but you have to show them that they can do them and be comfortable with who they are. Pick your style. Pick your preferences. Mm-hmm. You know, stick to them. And if you want to change, you know, then the creatives don't stay in one zone. We like to look different and do different things. But when you try different things, make sure that you are comfortable with what it is. I remember when I was singing Weakness for Sweetness. I remember Leston. I was in Trinidad and I had a show to do. And Leston, bring this outfit and tell me where it on. What's up with me? I'll play that outfit. And I chose to do me.
Mm.
I chose to do me.
Not right? Did not.
Because that was because it was a typical, you see, it was a typical female soca artist outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We know the typical ones. Yeah.
Understood.
Mm. You know, now, that being said, and you mentioned don't understand. No matter how much time they give me, it just don't seem to be enough. But we can break some rules now. But seeing that you mentioned, you know, the development of the young people, you know, helping them to feel comfortable, particularly the young ladies who need that extra care, extra direction because of the peculiarities of it all. Is there enough of that there? I know, Donella, you mentioned your mentorship. I know through the years, Natalie, you've continued to help. But outside of that there, is there enough of that being done going forward? Is there more that needs to be done?
I think more needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I think some is being done, but I think more needs to be done. Because just quickly, I remember years ago, when I started singing with Double Explosion, and Russell always said to me, you are not supposed to look the same way on stage, off stage. When you step on stage, person's supposed to wonder with the same person that just walked through there. So, you know, we need to, and to be comfortable, as Natalie said as well. So we need to, more of us who are in this, in our era right now, we need to talk to these young ladies, you know, show them where we've come from, explain to them, because there's so many wardrobe mishaps that happen on stage because you're just going to put on something that is in style.
Mm-hmm.
You want, this is the style, so I'm going to put it on. But before you put it on, before you hit the stage with it, do you put it on do you start to jump around in this outfit to see if something will come loose? You know, they don't think about that. So I know that we do our part, but I think that more person can get on board with it. That's just my view.
I totally agree. I agree with Donella. We could do more. We just have to be, you see, sometimes you may choose to reach out on your own, but some people say ever so welcome wait for a call, right? Oh, yeah. So we have to see how that can be facilitated.
Now, then I will look to wrap up with this here. Oh, someone here saying, I was saying for a long time, St. Lawrence Gap should not only be for the hotels and nightlife and club owners. We have lots of students coming out to BCC. These young people should be allowed to perform on the walkways of St. Lawrence Gap during the day, early evening, to gain exposure, etc. Similar to busking, really. We don't see much of that there. Is it a situation where the musicians, the performers, don't see it as something they need to do, something they don't want to do, and they're embarrassed to do it? Is it noise laws that's preventing it? What really? Because if you go to and as people that have gone to major cities, you know that anytime you go to the cities, you see people busking, you see their musicians. We don't have that in Barbados. We don't have our musicians, our artisans, our creatives. They are not out there. You gotta go and look for them. Is there something preventing that? What's stopping it?
I think our cultural situation plays a role in that, where your mother may say to you, you better go play road playing the music and a boy playing the money in a thing, an embarrassing
perception of it. Yes.
And that is the truth. You better be okay, so begging the boy for the money. Our cultural situation is such that where your child brings home a sponsor watch, eat, or card, just put the money on it and send it back to the school.
Guilty.
You don't let your child go ask it anybody.
I'm guilty of that as well.
But you know, that's somewhat different though. That's
all I'm saying is that's how we look at it. If you're outside and you're playing music, let's say somebody dropping money in a hat or a guitar case, that is seen as you're out there begging for money.
Begging, yeah.
Pretty much. That's how we see things.
That's true.
That's not our cultural reality. We don't think like that. North America is different. We have people in North America who leave home. They leave one state and go to the next, and they're using their music to pay their rent and so on.
Yes.
And they go out and they hustle, literally. Yeah. That's not how we are culturally. And I'm not saying that it has to be set up like that, where people are putting money into a guitar case. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying that in terms of simply, we don't, in Barbados, we do not look at music like that. We are people who like to plan. If you're going to be involved in music, you have to be playing at a concert or a show. Right? It has to be planned. It has to be advertised. It has to be all of that. It is not that informal. Go there, set up your amp and start playing some music out there next to the side of the road. That's not how we do things.
Even our pop-up events are planned.
Yes, pop-up events are planned in Barbados. So that is what it is. But I think that we could veer away somewhat and have, you know, multiple creative spaces. That people can pass by and stop and say, wait, what's this going on here?
Yeah.
And, you know.
That's why I always appreciated what the Central Bank in the Green, when they had the young people playing the steel pan and they had the lunchtime concerts and such. Things like that there. I mean, again, that's planned, but at least it's something, that gives them the opportunity.
Yeah, something that you look forward to.
All right. Well, you know, 25 minutes after 9 o'clock, we've all broken the laws of time here. So when they come after me, I signed up for Donella and Natalie too, so that's all right. But before okay. we, yeah, I know you got me. I know you got my back. Before we wrap it up, looking overall at the women in the industry and how it's been going, what are your wishes for women in the industry? And this is in any aspect, whether it's as a musician, performer, promoter. But what is your wish?
I'll let Natalie go first.
Okay, my wish is a greater presence. And I'm not going to use the word equality because you get what you demand.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say a greater presence. And just to, you know, sometimes I relate some company, mm-hmm. you know, like more company.
Listen, send me location, they're coming.
Okay. a greater presence, honestly, a greater presence.
Mm-hmm.
And for people, there are people who still do not take females seriously in Calypso. And I think that needs to change. I really do.
Okay. For me, part of what Natalie said as well, but also we as women in Calypso, in the industry, my wish is that, because I've heard it from a lot of young persons, they think that we are all for, some of us are all for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going from what I've been told. And if we make ourselves more available, more approachable, I think that we would help to encourage a lot more, you know, coming into it. And Natalie said it's not equality, but for me being on stage as it's dubbed as male dominated, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
So therefore, let's increase our presence. Let's flood them with our presence so that it's no longer, you know, that stigma is no longer there. And we can do it. There's enough of us. I'm sure of it.
A quality presence too.
Quality presence. That's quality correct.
Presence. Quality and not necessarily quantity.
Mm.
That's right.
All right. Well, we definitely are seeing the increase in quality and quantity. Let's see if we can keep it on that trajectory. I know you'll like it to go a little quicker. I know you'll like that, but we will see how that goes. Well, thank you very much for spending some time this morning, both Natalie and
Donella. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Crop Over Conversation. And remember, every Friday we do it. And we thank our friends at the NCF for facilitating this interview as well. That's it for, well, not for me yet. I still got time here. But the ladies, they're going to go finish off their breakfast or start breakfast and then send me the menu afterwards. But thank you very much, Nat and Donella. The time is now 28 minutes after 9 o'clock.